Bismillah, alhamdulillah, I greet you with the greeting of all the messengers of God, including one of the mightiest messengers that was ever sent of the five, Jesus, peace be upon him. He greeted his followers with this greeting, the greeting of the angels, the greeting of the prophets, and that's the greeting we're greeting you with here today. Peace be unto you. And if that's too much for you, hey, what's up? How you doing? Thank you for tuning in to the Deen Show. And we get to interview people who have accepted this wonderful way of life, the call to acquire peace by submitting to the owner of peace, the one God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So people from all walks of life are racing to Islam. The rich, the poor, the famous Bible scholars, Christian scholars that are going up higher up. I have had a chance to interview people who have finished with master's degrees, finishing seminary schools, they're coming to Islam. What's going on? This is a phenomenon. They're seeing that all the evidence is pointing to Islam being the truth. And it provides all the proof that it's not a man-made religion, but indeed it is organized by the one God who created this whole universe and everything in it, who's not a man or a woman, but he's a creator of man and woman. Now, when we come back, there are also some people who are born with the title Muslim. But it's not because default now you're born with parents who are Muslim that you now are chosen by God and you're just going to enter paradise. You have to come to a conscious decision at one point in your life, just like the person who's born in a Christian family, this person's born in a Jewish family, Hindu family, whatever kind of family. You have to come to a conscious decision that, you know what, I want to submit not to my desires but to the one who created me. And my next guest, when we come back, Brother Omar, is going to talk about how he made that decision coming from a family of Muslims who weren't practicing, and him being a young man who decided to practice this beautiful way of life, Islam. When we come back here in the Deen Show, stay tuned.
Deen, Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Brother Omar, how are you doing? I'm going to greet you with those same greeting I greeted everybody with a minute ago. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Eddie.
Peace be with you, my brother.
Peace be with you as well.
Now, this is a unique show now because we get a lot of converts, people who are of other faiths. They were followers of the Christian faith, of the Hindu faith, of the Jewish faith, whatever faith, and then they come to a conscious decision and say, you know what, things aren't making sense here. There's some contradictions here, you know what, the proof's not adding up, and then they look into Islam and they say, you know what, this is where it's at. There's a book that's been unchanged, untampered with, the verbatim word of God, the Quran. Some come to it with an analytical approach, scientific approach, and they see all these beautiful and wonderful miracles in the Quran. And then they submit. So those are the stories of those people. But now you have a father who's Muslim, is that right?
That's right.
And a mother who's Muslim.
That's right.
But you weren't always practicing, it seems like, just a year ago. So we want to get a little bit of your history. How did you come to where you're at today? Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from and what you're doing and who you are.
Well, my name is Omar, first of all. Now, I grew up in Chicago. So, you know, I have a very similar history to anyone who's living in Chicago. You know, I'm not into a super rich family, not a super poor family.
Middle class.
Just another guy. Yeah, middle class. And with parents and family who doesn't really practice Islam, it's always been, I always knew I was Muslim, but I never really knew why. You know, we have a lot of people who are born into faiths, but they only because they call themselves this because their parents are that. You know, they're a Christian because their parents are a Christian. They're a Hindu because their father is a Hindu. And in Islam, we have the same problem. We have people who are Muslim because their fathers are a Muslim. You know, and that is a problem because you get people who then represent the true Muslims who don't really know much. You know, they don't really know what their religion preaches or the basic theology of their religion. And so the way I really, for me, you know, a lot of people when they come to a faith, they kind of have, maybe it's in a tragedy, they lose a family member or some big thing, and then they have only God, right? They had nothing else to turn to. With me, it was actually quite the opposite, because I, in fact, was very happy with the life I had. I had no reason to, I didn't need God. You know, I had everything. I had my own apartment, I had a car, I had women, I had everything, mm-hmm. you know.
So at what age is this?
This is when I first got into college. So okay. I'm 18 years old.
Now, college, some people just go for the experience now. This is where, you know.
Some people just go for the experience.
People get away from the family and now they just let loose.
Yes, and that's what was about to happen to me.
Okay.
Because, you know, I had roommates, and roommates influence you, you know, on a lot of things. And one thing they wanted me to do, you know, let's go to the club, let's go to the bars, let's go meet these women, right? Bringing women into my apartment all the time. And I was always kind of saying no, but it got to the point where I'm like, well, wait a minute, why am I saying no? Because I'm a Muslim. Why am I a Muslim?
You know, now you're starting to question. Now,
right. Why should I keep following these rules when I could be doing this?
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Did your family instill some of the good Islamic?
Morals
in you.
Because my family doesn't drink. They don't smoke. They don't eat pork. Things like this, you know, basic. I mean, I don't come from a bad family. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But nothing was ever pushed. You know, I wasn't really given. I was never given a reason not to do things. I was just told, we don't do it, so don't do it. You know, and I kind of went along with the flow. But when you get to be 18, you go to college, things change, and you kind of, I mean, for any person, I think you kind of question, why am I living the way my parents told me to live?
Why am I not drinking? Why am I not smoking? Why am I not chasing girls?
Right, exactly. And these things were all readily available to me. You know, I didn't have to go out and find them. And so I thought, well, let me just look into Islam here. But I didn't look into it trying to find a reason to believe. I looked into it trying to find a reason for it to all be nonsense.
So then you can go ahead,
back door, go
with the friends to the club now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find a reason why I can say, look, there, it's all fake. Now I can go with my friends, right?
Yeah.
I like to think of myself as being a sincere person, you know, an honest person. And when I read about, I'm a man of science, first of all. I don't believe in anything superstitious. I don't cross my fingers to be lucky, you know. I don't do any of this kind of stuff. If I can't see it, I'm not going to believe it. That's just not how I work.
Yes.
And so I thought, if there's going to be a real religion, you know, if there's going to be a God, the proof of this God has to be extremely obvious, right? I mean, the very nature of God is he's merciful, he's loving. What kind of God is merciful and loving, but then says, well, maybe I exist, maybe I don't, you know, doesn't give any clear evidence? This is kind of a contradiction in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to believe something that's not obvious. I'm not gonna, if it's not clear and if it doesn't hit me over the head with just sheer obviousness, I'm not going to believe it, you know. And I'm a man of science. So when I first was looking into the Quran, you know, this holy book that we Muslims seem to be following, I'm asking people, you know, what makes this book so amazing? Why is this book different than the Bible, you know, or the Torah or anything else? And a lot of what I was hearing was the linguistic miracle, right? The way it's written. Well, I don't speak Arabic, so I didn't look into that very much. The other thing I kept hearing was the scientific facts in the Quran that no one could have known at the time of the Prophet. And so I thought, you know, okay, what are these facts? You know, what can be in this book that was not known at the time?
Yes.
And I'm telling you, Eddie, when you look at what's written in the Quran, I mean, you put all the other miracles aside, the prophecy that's come true, the way it's written that I've now come to understand. You just look at the scientific facts when it describes in clear detail the formation of the embryo.
Muhammad could not have known these facts about human development in the 7th century because most of them were not discovered until the 20th century.
When it says the earth is the shape of an ostrich egg, you know, I mean, I read that and I thought, you know, why That's how the earth is shaped, you know. And
it's not just circles. There's a unique shape to the earth that matches an ostrich egg.
Right, right. And, you know, this is something at the time of the prophet, you know, peace be upon him, we have to remember everyone is thinking the earth is flat.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now, this guy says, no, no, it's actually not flat. Not only does he say it's not flat, he says it's shaped like an ostrich egg. You know, out of all the eggs to choose, he could have picked a chicken egg. You know, he could have picked a fish egg. Why does he pick an ostrich egg? You know.
So this is that shape, how it's designed, the look. If you would compare it
right.
to a tennis ball right. or to a football or to an ostrich egg, this is how it would resemble more so. And this
exactly.
is what you're seeing now.
And this is what is in the Quran, you know, yeah. 1400 years ago. I mean, this is just one of the, you know, who could have known that, first of all? Who could have known that? Some say, okay, the prophet, maybe he's really smart, maybe he was an astronomer, maybe he figured it out. Or maybe he was just lucky, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine, that's just one thing. What about the hundreds of others? You know, what about the formation of the embryo? What about the water cycle? You know, all these things that are written, and not, you know, not just, they're not just talked about in broad, you know, sense. I mean, detailed. I mean, these are things that most modern scientists who, when they see it, they have no choice but to believe as well. Maurice Brocai, he was one of the most famous scientists in biology, and he converted to Islam because of all this.
He was that French scientist.
He's the French scientist, yeah. And he converted to Islam. He's written a book, the Quran, the Bible, on science, and I mean these are facts that are bringing. Not just, you know, like you say in your show sometimes, car mechanics. They don't just bring those kind of people to Islam, but real intellectual people who are sincere are now coming toward Islam because they realize there's not really a way this could have been written by, I mean, no matter how smart this man was, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, there's no way he could have known that.
There's no way he could have known that. You're figuring this out. You're using your mind. You're taking a scientific, analytical approach, and we're going to come back to hear more with our brother Omar. We'll be right back. He is the
maintainer. Coming to the truth requires two things. It requires deep thinking that you've already done, but it requires another step, and that's courage. If you have the truth, but you don't have courage, you won't stand up for the truth. And that's as good as standing up for falsehood.
I would say this thing that you just told me, it's not in the scripture. And they would say, a marginal note added by a scribe, yeah, okay, we know that. And I'd be thinking, if you know this is not the Bible, why are you preaching it as if it's gospel truth?
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Dean Show with our brother Omar, who is coming up in a Muslim family, not practicing, but you have some of the moral teachings, some of the things, the basics, don't drink, don't fornicate, you got to get married, don't smoke, basic things, but now you're telling yourself, why am I going to follow these rules? Let me try to look into Islam just because I can find some contradictions there, is that safe to say? I can find some inaccuracies. I can prove and put it in the same basket as all the other man-made religions, so then I can let loose, and my conscience won't be eaten away at me.
Right.
But you're finding something else different.
Exactly.
So you left off now that you are intellectually, analytically coming at this, and you're finding out that this is not the case. It is coming more so to fruition that this is something that could possibly be from the Creator. Are you there yet that it's 100%? Where are you at now?
I'm there yet. I mean, yes, I'm there, but I'm challenging it still, you know, because I'm trying to think there has to be an explanation, right? And I'm trying to challenge it. And one of the things that brought me into the religion even more is that this challenge that I was posing to people, you know, all sorts of people of knowledge, people, just the common folk, anyone, this challenging always was actually welcomed and it was encouraged. A lot of other faiths, you know, I don't mean to pick on anyone in particular, but I know a lot of other faiths say, well, don't challenge it, just believe it, blindly follow it, you know, and don't question it, because if you question it, then you're stupid, you know, just believe it. And I think, well, if there really is a religion from God, you have to be able to question it, and it has to be undefeatable, right? So I'm continuing on, I'm questioning these things, I'm trying to find explanations for how these, you know, facts could have been put in this book. I'm trying to find maybe these verses, these scientific facts, they meant something else. I'm just trying to disprove it, you know. But every single time I try to disprove one of these facts, I actually get bombarded with more evidence that mm-hmm. it's the truth, you know. And so...
But you mentioned something earlier that you hoped and thought that you were sincere, that you were, you know, you were trying to do this, but at the same time, were you being sincere about it? You weren't like, even if it was the truth, you weren't trying to cover it up.
No, absolutely not. I was never trying to cover everything up, or, you know, I never just put the book away and said, I'm sure it's a fluke. You know, this never happened. I'm just trying to, and even to this day, I still do that.
You're challenging, but are you sincere at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. You know, our religion teaches us to, if we find something better, we go to it. Mm-hmm. So if I find that the Quran was actually written, you know, 20 years ago, then I go away from Islam. You know, that isn't the case. And so even to this day...
So you're not finding anything better?
No, I cannot find anything better. No, and I look into... I mean, I've looked into scientific facts of the Bible. I've looked into how the Bible plays into, you know, modern day. I look into how... I mean, I lived in Japan for 3 years. I've studied Buddhism intensively. And Buddhism, it's nice and all that, but there's no evidence. And that's the kind of person I am. I need evidence. I need proof to believe in something. You know, you go and buy a car, right? You don't buy it because the salesman tells you to buy it. You buy it because you've done the research and you have the evidence that this is the best car for you. Why should religion be any different?
You looked into Buddhism. You looked into some of the other religions also?
Yeah, Christianity. I mean, I have a lot of Christian friends. You know, I looked into Judaism. I looked into, I mean, religions that you probably would never even heard of, you know, in Japan, because I was there for 3 years, and I'm just trying to find, and a lot of religions preach good, you know. I'm not saying that Islam is the only religion that's, you know, good. I mean, Christianity is good. You know, do one to your neighbor what you want done to yourself. You know, it's, these are all good, but, you know, you don't have to have a religion to be good. And so if I'm going to follow a religion, I don't want to be a Muslim just because Islam is good, because every religion is good. You know, what makes Islam different from everything else? That's my question. And that's why I research everything.
Did you find that when you looked at these other religions, because they can teach some good, but if the foundation that is built on, it's not from the Creator, then hold on. It could be teaching you to do some good, but if you look at some of these other religions, for instance, they may call to be good to your neighbor, they might call to give in charity, but if the ultimate evil is to set up another god besides God, make God into a man or his creation, then ultimately this can't be from God, because the message has always been the same. Worship the one God, not his creation. Right. So that if these other religions, for instance, are calling you to worship Buddha or a man or a woman or an idol or a saint, then that's contradicting the way of life of God.
Well, that's one thing I noticed too. I mean, almost every religion seems to be based off a lot of Muslims, we know this, and a lot of times we say this. I'm just going to say it again. A lot of religions seem to be based on a person or a place. You know, I mean, Christianity, Christ, right? Buddhism, Buddha, Hinduism, the Hindus valleys, you know.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, but Islam, it isn't. I mean, what does Islam mean? I mean, sincere submission to the one who created you.
Sincere submission to the one who created you.
To the one. And these are all, by definition, this is how we can say that Islam has been here since the very beginning of time.
Since the very beginning of time.
Before that even. Because everything, this cup is in sincere submission to the one who created it. Because it's following the rules of gravity. It's following the rules of physics.
That's a nice
point. Everything is. And will
the sun?
The sun, everything, you know. I met a guy who worshipped the sun the other day.
And we did.
Yeah, speaking of the sun, different story. Yeah. But I just thought that was kind of funny, because you're going to worship the sun. The sun's going to die one day, then how's it going to save you?
So, okay, so now tell us, because we don't have too much time. We want to get all the great highlights of your life, that now you're coming to this realization that this is from the Creator.
Right.
So what happens now? You're young. And now, and a lot of people who maybe they might know this, but they don't follow it up with action.
And
did you start? How did you go from here?
Well, change doesn't happen overnight. You know, I mean, even though I was now starting to realize that there is just not a way I could understand how this book can be from a man, it has to be from God. I said, fine, but you know, I still want to do this other stuff, so I'll be religious when I come home, but then when I go out, you know, I'll do the other stuff too, so now I'm living the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah.
And for a while, that's how it, you know, was. But then I think what really started to change was the establishing of the prayer, because this is when you are in direct communication with God. No intermediaries, you know, no, not going through a man to God, no detours, just right, I'm talking to God directly.
You start to implement
prayer. Right, implementing. And it's not, again, this is not an overnight thing. I mean, first it was just one prayer a day, right? And it wasn't, you know, only in my apartment, I'm not going to pray outside of, you know, my apartment, the safety and the comfort. And that's fine for a beginner, you know, I don't have any regrets about that, because that's how you ease into, you know, your real calling. But so it was just once, you know, once a day. And then during Ramadan, okay, now it's time to be really religious. Maybe I'll do it two times a day, maybe three if I'm, you know, in the mood. And eventually you just keep doing this and you keep doing this and you memorize what you have to say and you memorize the movements, and it just becomes so easy. It becomes so, and it feels so natural. You mm-hmm. know, it's not embarrassing. Someone looks at you when you're praying, it's easy to see this man is praying. You
yeah.
know, we don't have any kind of, we don't shake our arms all around and, you know, do some kind
nothing
of ritual
weird.
Thing. No, nothing weird.
Prostrating, just, putting your head on the
right,
ground.
Right,
the
right.
same way that Jesus did when he fell on his face and prayed to God, Moses,
absolutely.
Abraham,
absolutely.
All of them.
Absolutely. So we, as far as we know, the prophets prayed like this.
So you started to implement the prayer and you started slowly, little by little, and then you worked up to, what, five times a day?
Then five times, well, I remember the first day I prayed five times a day, it was a big deal, you
yeah.
know, because now I felt, okay, now I'm a real Muslim, you
yeah.
know. And so I prayed five times a day for 3 days in a row, and I'm like, okay, now I need a break, now I'll pray three times today.
Yeah.
And you just kind of, you know, you make these schedules for yourself, and everyone will ease into it at their own pace. But eventually, the more I began to pray, the more I was willing to pray outside of the comfort of my own apartment, you know. And now I'm praying, not on the street, but I'm praying, you know, in my place of employment, I'm praying at school, and people start to see you. And you become more conscious of it, you know. And the more conscious of your Muslim self you become, the more you want to learn about it. You know, the more you want to understand yourself, because you know people are judging you. Whether maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, you know, whatever. And so this is where I became more and more interested in the study of my own faith. And I'm telling you, just the more I studied it, the more I became committed. You know, sometimes people, they study their religion and they learn more and more about it, but it starts making less and less sense. And so they say, well, I'm this religion, but I don't really believe it. You know, with me, it's everything was in sync. The more I understood, the more I understood about my body, about the world, about everything, you know.
Everything just made sense. The more you learned, the more you got committed, the more you started to implement the second pillar of Islam, the salat, the prayer, the more did that help you to keep away from a lot of the bad things
of
that are out there?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what, you know, when I meet some friends or even my family, when sometimes people, they just see Islam as nothing but a simple set of rules.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do this, can't do that. And then when you look at it this way, you're really starting to lose touch of what Islam really is, you know. So before I tell anyone, I mean, new Muslims, I don't give them any rules. I just say establish the prayer.
Yeah.
The rest is going to come with time,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to want to do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know. So that is my first advice to everyone. I mean, including myself. I remind myself every day, just pray, just establish the prayer, because everything else falls into place. Once you build the foundation, everything else comes into place.
Let's take another break, and we'll be right back with our brother Omar here on the Deen Show.
Allah, there's only one.
Well, the doctor say to me, why have you become a Muslim? No, I give a very frivolous answer. I say, I want to be on the side of the angels.
Allah, Tupac is a guy. He's the number one rap artist in the world. He sold over 60 million records worldwide.
60 million?
60 million. He was a young guy who had basically everything that some of the youth would think that life is all about. He had everything you can imagine.
The Deen Show.
You're watching The Dean Show, and we're here with our brother Omar. Omar, yes. You were talking when we left off about establishing the prayer. This is a direct connection with the creator of the heavens and the earth. Before that, you got the correct knowledge. Mm-hmm. You started to see that, you know what, this cannot be from a man. This cannot be written by a group of men. This Quran, the verbatim word of God, is from the creator. And you started to implement what he told you to do, the connection. Not because he needs the prayer. He don't need it. But no. As he says in the Quran, that establish the prayer for my remembrance, because indeed the prayer keeps one away from evil deeds, shamelessness, things that, you know what, will just lead a person to corruption. Right. So now, you don't want to go to the club no more? You don't want to do some of these things that, you know what, no desire for that?
No, I mean, some people may say that and not be sincere about it, but I'm too busy, you know, basking in the love of Allah to really care about that so much.
MashaAllah. You said Allah now. Now someone might think that's Allah. A moon god or something. When you say Allah, who's Allah?
The God. You know, in Arabic, Ilah means God, and then Al means the. So most scholars speculate that the word Allah came from, you put Al with Ilah, Allah, and it means the God. This is the most scholar. We don't know for sure, but this is where we are most certain this word came from, Allah. So it just means the God. Doesn't mean, you know, the Arab God. Doesn't mean the God of the Muhammad. You know, no. It just means the God. No, nothing, you know, strange about that word.
And Jews and Christians who are Arabic speaking, they also use the word Allah.
To all my Christian friends who speak Arabic, I say Allah. And they know what I'm talking about. Okay, they don't say, hey, I'm not Muslim. No, they say, oh, yeah, thank you.
Okay, so the person that, you know what, he's never heard this term. We're talking about the creator of the sun, of the moon, the creator of Jesus, Moses, Abraham, the creator of all that exists. Now, continue on. We got just a few more minutes. What's going on with your life now? So I know you can probably, like many people, write a book, but we just crunch on time. We just want people to really be able to benefit from these short stories of people so they can get a little more motivated to do the good that Islam calls a human being to do. What's going on now with you?
Well, one of the biggest things, you know, when you accept this way of life is you're going to be tested. And some tests are much harder than others. And so right now I'm being tested, you know, just like everyone. There's many challenges in my life and there are many glories in my life too, but everything is a test. You know, and so when I'm praying at work or, you know, in the mall or whatever, a lot of times it becomes very hard to gain that motivation to let people know I'm a Muslim, you know. And I think everyone has that kind of problem. But one thing that really helps me get through letting people know I'm a Muslim is remembering the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Because you know that the Prophet, I mean, he was threatened with his life. His followers oftentimes died to protect the message of Islam, all just by practicing. You know, the Arabs at the time of the Prophet, many of them hated him because he was trying to change everything. And so I just remember that if the Prophet can do this and people like the Prophet can do this with their lives being threatened, I think I can do it with people giving me a look, you know.
Yeah. So any closing comments and suggestions for those out there who
establish the prayer.
Establish the prayer.
I think that is everything, you know. That leads to everything else comes from the prayer.
Brother,
establish the prayer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jazakallah khair. May God Almighty Allah reward you for being with us.
You as well.
Continue strong, continue forward. And that was our brother Omar, who came to a point in his life and he started to question, and he questioned the Quran. He was sincere. And you wanted to see, you know what, can this be from a human being? If it is, I'm going to do my own thing then. I'll make up my own way of life. But he saw that, you know what, no. This Quran, the verbatim word of God, is from God, is from the Creator. So I better do God's thing. I better do what the Creator wants me to do. So he did the most important thing after testifying, swearing to that there's no God but God. There's no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And Muhammad is his messenger. That includes all the messages that preceded him, including Jesus Christ, Moses, Abraham, Noah. They were all messengers of God. They were calling people to worship one God and not his creation. And then he established the prayer. And this is where many people are lacking. So we got to get motivated. Put your face to the ground. Repent to the Creator. Ask him to make it easy and continue to strive towards goodness, good character. Develop yourself to be the best human being that you can be. And you're only going to do that with the Creator's help. So ask him, beseech him to help you, to help us, so we can be the best. And then we can get paradise, because life is short. It can end at any time. And with that said, continue to come back here to The Dean Show. We also have the new radio show. It's all at thedeanshow.com. Continue to watch it, same time, same channel. Until next time, peace be unto you.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave dangers of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than Allah.